Your Honor and bonjour from Tahiti. Welcome to Filled with His Love. Elder Uchtdorf once said, "We seek truth wherever we might find it." Quote. One place to look is the writings of faithful people of the past. One of those people is Saint Francis of Assisi. He lived in the 13th century. That's 800 years ago. He was born into a wealthy family, but as a young adult, met someone suffering from leprosy, and that changed his life. He decided he needed to spend his life helping the downtrodden. His life was similar to that in many ways of Mother Teresa. He spent his life helping the poor, the diseased, and those that often feel forgotten. Here are a few of his famous quotes. I just found these. I quite like them. I think they're good. So here are his quotes. "The deeds you do may be the only sermon some persons will hear today." Interesting, huh? "The deeds you do may be the only sermon some persons will hear today." Another one. "The only thing ever achieved in life without effort is failure." Another. "Do few things, but do them well. Simple joys are holy." Finally, "A single sunbeam is enough to drive away many shadows." Nice thoughts, many ways. I like them. Now, but here's my favorite quote of all, so favorite that I committed it to memory a long time ago. It's a prayer that Saint Francis of Assisi penned as he was trying to help those who had been rejected by others. Only recently, however, have I thought his words as a prayer for relationships. You might be familiar with his prayer. Here are his words. "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life." Those words ring as true to me now as they did years ago when I committed them to memory. Let's look closely now at how his prayer is a prayer for relationships. The first line says, "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace." This line reminds me of President Nelson's talk, "Peacemakers Needed." In this talk, you might remember President Nelson's strong counsel to avoid contention. Contention can destroy relationships. Contention, by definition, is hostile. It's a hostile interchange between two or more people. Contention means harshness because it's a heated dispute, by definition. This kind of communication cuts people down, hurts people, and yes, can sometimes kill something inside the other person who's receiving the harshness. It's disastrous for relationships. So, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Second line, "Where there is hatred, let me show love." This is not an easy thing to do. I think of the mission of the sons of Mosiah to the Lamanites. They went among a people who hated them, and yet by the miracle of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that hate eventually turned to love. One of the all-time greatest moments in the Book of Mormon. Those missionaries might have given up. They were about to turn back at one point. They were so discouraged. But they went back to the Lamanites and tried again. And look what happened. They turned hate to love. So we know it can happen, but it can come only if people accept Christ and his atonement. Third line of the prayer, "Where there is injury, pardon." We are not asked only to forgive ourselves and others. We are asked to help others forgive themselves and those who have injured them. What a powerful thought. When we're talking with someone who has been hurt by another person, How can we help them forgive that person and move on with their life? This requires a lot of trust and openness. I was talking with someone yesterday about a couple who comes to church every Sunday but can't quite bring themselves to be baptized because of a member of the church who offended them in some way. They just haven't been able to forgive that person. Those around them need to help them forgive, forget, and move on so that they can receive all the blessings of membership in Christ's church. Forgiveness is at the heart of all healthy attachment relationships. Fourth line, where there is doubt, faith. This line brings to mind those who are struggling with their faith. They might have left the church, or they might be members who struggle with the policy or practice of the church. Those of us who are not struggling with our faith have a certain obligation to do what we can to help those whose faith is waning. Those who struggle with their faith are having difficulty with their relationship with God. This is the first and most important relationship of all because it affects all other relationships. So we patiently try to help others with love and understanding restore their faith in the Savior. Fifth line, where there is despair, hope. Each of these lines in the prayer are so intertwined. When you lose faith, you often lose hope. And that's because we distance ourselves from God. Then we are distancing ourselves from the source of all hope. Hope is not a psychological concept. It's a spiritual concept. It reminds me of the verse in Moroni 7:41. And what is it that we shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of the resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. This verse is so clear. Hope comes through Christ. No matter how bad things get, how many challenges we face, no matter how overwhelmed or inadequate we might feel, the Savior is always there with arms outstretched saying, come unto me, ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lolly and I were close to Ann Madsen as she approached the end of her life. She was burdened with neurotherapy in her legs and a number of other ailments. She had to use a wheelchair and was eventually bedridden. But through it all, she had an amazing amount of hope. I'm sure she got down at times, but you would never know it. She saw her life as a series of daily miracles. And if you were to talk to her at one moment, she would tell you about these miracles that would happen in her life, the people that she met miraculously, the encounters she had that she didn't plan. It was just quite amazing to watch this woman. What was the source of her hope? Very clearly, her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his infinite and intimate atonement. Sixth line, where there is darkness, light. Such a simple phrase and yet so powerful. We know the source of darkness is the adversary. He would like to keep us in the dark 24/7. But Christ brought new light to the world. Think of the temple and how light symbolizes the Savior. What is always directly over the altar in the ceiling room? A brilliant, shining chandelier. A couple is sealed for time and eternity in the presence of God, the source of all light. So if we want to sow light where there is darkness, we need to communicate with others in ways that edify, in ways that bring them closer to the Savior. We can have more positive influence than we think if we just focus on Jesus Christ. Seventh line, where there is sadness, joy. Again, President Nelson comes to mind. Here's what he said. Joy has little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. When the Savior, that was the end of the quote, when the Savior of the world is our focus, we can find joy in the most difficult situations, even when things look bleak. Lines 8 and 9. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. When we're in trouble emotionally or with a relationship, we naturally seek comfort and consolation. Somebody to kind of help us out of this predicament that we're in. But this line turns that on its head. With God's help, we can seek to console others more than seeking consolation for ourselves. Think of what would happen in the world if everyone did this. There would be so much less suffering, particularly emotional suffering. Marriages would be strengthened. Parent-child relationships would be enriched. Friendships would flourish. All we need to do is seek to relieve the suffering of others, to console them in times of discouragement. Line 10, to be understood as to understand. I'm not sure why, but this is one of my favorite lines. We all long to be understood by others. We want those who are close to us to get us, to really see what makes us tick, to know when we are down and when we need a shoulder to cry on. All relationships would be strengthened if we first tried to understand others. That means listening to them. Actually, it's much more than listening. It's reading them, understanding how they're feeling at a given moment and why they're feeling that way. Even if they don't explain their situation in detail, we somehow can discern what's going on with them. We need to find out what's really happening in their life and what's causing their particular challenge right now. Line 11, to be loved as to love. I've said in previous podcasts that one of our central purposes in coming to earth is to learn how to love and be loved. I'm convinced that there are far too many people who lack the love they need. They might be young children who are neglected by their parents, youth who feel that their parents don't care about them anymore, adults who feel used and trapped, aging people who feel forgotten. The answer is in this line. And it's in the words of the Lord when asked, what are the two great commandments? Love the Lord and love others. The solution to feeling unloved is, ironically, to love. The solution to feeling forgotten is to reach out to someone else who feels forgotten. Line 12, for it is in giving that we receive. There are lots of sayings about this principle. It's better to give than to receive, for example. We've all heard that. But I like this phrase, it is in giving that we receive. When we feel that life has shortchanged us somehow, we need to give more to life. And that means giving of ourselves to others in new and more creative ways. We can actually give life to another person simply by reaching out in whatever way that feels right to us and to them. The more we give love, the more love we receive. Line 13, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. This is, of course, scriptural. The Lord says in D&C 64, I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all men. The more we forgive, the more we feel forgiven. It's one of the most interesting and far-reaching principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When one looks outside to forgive another, something happens inside the heart. Forgiving others makes it easier to forgive ourselves and to feel pardoned by the Lord. Line 14, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. President Nelson comes to mind again. He's getting toward the end of his life. He might live for several more years, no one knows, but his days are more numbered now than they used to be. So what did he encourage us to do in the last General Conference? Think celestial. When we think celestial, we place value on the most important things in life. And what are the most valuable things in life? Relationships. Our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with others. This is what life is about. It's not about accumulating material goods. It's not about becoming famous. It's about loving God and loving family and friends. To close, I want to repeat St. Francis of Assisi's prayer just one more time. And if you like to memorize things, I encourage you to try memorizing this poem. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. I hope this is helpful to you, and if it is, I hope you'll share it with somebody who may need it also. It is a beautiful prayer to ponder. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
I will always see.